this wee series this morning in Galatians chapter 5. And it was great to hear this morning Stephen's testimony, how this set of scripture brought him to the kingdom of God, and that's how the Lord spoke to him. So I want to read a few more verses from Galatians 5, and I'm going to just read the last few verses from verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5, and it says this: "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking or envying each other." We want to stay in step with the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing over the weeks, it's gone so quickly, hasn't it? This series, you know, this is now the eighth, only one more to go next week. And we're looking this morning then on gentleness. How the Lord would want us to be a gentle people. Now, the Greek word which is translated gentle, or you might have a King James Version this morning, it might be meek in your Bible, might even be humility. The Greek for that word is pros, and it's a word that's actually quite difficult really to define, and there's a wee bit of difficulty sometimes in really bringing across what the word really means. But 300 years before the Lord Jesus walked in this earth, Aristotle, a Greek philosopher, he had a way to help try to explain to people the Greek language. And what he would often do was this: to describe one word, he would nearly describe the two opposite extremes so that people could get the word that was really in the middle. For example, a generous man, he would say this, the extreme of that would be a spendthrift, somebody who would just spend everything they have, and on the other side of that would be somebody who would be a miser and would hoard everything they have. Now, if you're sitting with one this morning, please just keep looking at me and don't look at them just now, it could cause an argument later on at home. Okay, so just keep looking at me, okay? So the middle of the road there is that as a generous person. And Aristotle, he put this word of excessiveness down to like excessive anger, and then to the excessive angerlessness. That's how he brought this word across. And Aristotle, he described a man who knew when it was appropriate to be angry and when it wasn't. A bit like the Lord Jesus. You know, the Lord Jesus went into the temple and he cleared it because they were making a mockery of God's house of prayer. But yet, in the same sense, when the Lord was on trial, the Lord said nothing about himself. You know, gentleness is a fruit that lots of people struggle with because they can't really see themselves as somebody who is in a gentle nature. And I think also, if we're quite honest as well, I think it's because of the old King James use of the word meek, and it's sort of synonymous, isn't it? Meek, weak. You know, so we sort of think to ourselves, well, I don't want to be weak, I don't want to be meek. But it's a total misunderstanding of what this word actually means. You know, this word describes a wild animal that has been tamed. It describes a hurricane that has now become a gentle wind. It describes that stallion that has been broken in, that it's able to have a bridle and a saddle on it and can be used for good. In other words, the best way to describe the word meek, humility, or gentleness is this: it is strength under control. So when you think of that word meek or gentle, you think of strength under control. It is not about weakness, but it's about us using strength under control. Now, we know that when we abide in the Holy Spirit, when we take time to submit ourselves to Him, when we take time to seek His face, to look at God's Word, then we are living in the perfect conditions to allow the Holy Spirit to bear this fruit within our lives. And this morning what I want to do, I want to use the same running order that we used last week so it can help us to see why it is important with us to live intentionally, why it's important for us to live under the Spirit of God and in step with the Spirit of God, that we can do all that God wants us to do. So we're going to follow this wee plan this morning. We need to work with the Holy Spirit and be open to the Spirit of God for true relationship with God. We need to work with the Holy Spirit of God that we might represent Him. And thirdly, that we may also have reformation for God. So let's look at that first thought this morning when we come to look at gentleness. It's all about true relationship with God. And as I've already said this morning, you may not look at yourself and think of yourself as a gentle person. Maybe this morning you're condemning yourself saying, I am so brash, I'm just in there and I say the thing and I do the thing and I am not one bit gentle at all. Can I tell you this morning, actually gentleness has already been working in your life. Because if you're born again of the Spirit of God, gentleness at some point had to take place. Gentleness is the spirit and the attitude behind repentance. It's that the changing of your mind to repent, to turn away from your old life to follow the Lord. It's that humbling of your nature to say, I have got it wrong, but God got it right. That I need to come to God and I need to surrender, as Stephen spoke about this morning. You know, he had fought with getting saved for a while, but he came to that point where after God spoke to him in that hotel room, that he had to surrender his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. We bow the knee. We take the knee. We bow before him and say, you're God, you're powerful, you're mighty, you're right. We were wrong and we give our lives totally to you. A.W. Tozer wrote, the meek man is not a human mouse afflicted with a sense of his own inferiority. Rather, he may be in his moral life as bold as a lion and as strong as Samson, but he has stopped being fooled about himself. He has accepted God's estimate of his own life. He knows he is as weak and helpless as God declared him to be. But paradoxically, he knows at the same time that he, in the sight of God, is of more importance than the angels, and yet he has nothing within himself. And you know, friends, if we continue to walk in repentance and in his leadership, we need to make our life all about him. I think we've come to that place, haven't we, when we realize that his leadership is much better than our leadership, even of our own lives, that we trust him with everything. You know, one of the meekest and the most gentlest men in history was John the Baptist. He was a powerful figure that Josephus, the great Jewish historian, reports that years after John's demise, at the mention of his name, people still trembled at the thought of him. And Jesus' eulogy of John was that he was greater than any man born of woman. And yet when Christ saw him, when Christ spoke of him, he spoke of him as this powerful man, but yet when John the Baptist spoke in the presence of Jesus, he said this, he must increase that I must decrease. Or he sent his disciples to say to Jesus, I must decrease that he must increase. And basically what he said of himself, I am nobody. I am not to be heard, not just to be seen. I am not to be seen, I am just to be heard, a voice in the desert. His aim was to point to Jesus. His aim was to glorify the Lord. His focus was always to be on Jesus. And yet, have you noticed today, we hear about the greatest evangelists, the greatest teachers, the greatest theologians. I know media, and we've got media going this morning, is so important, and thank God for it. Because with media going today, we're actually starting to see the fulfillment of the gospel and the end times prophecy, that the gospel will go to the ends of the earth because of media. So we use it to our advantage. But yet still today, I get a wee bit concerned. Sometimes I go and see other church sites, and it's almost like pastors are being made into celebrities, and churches are the end place to be, the place, the must-be place to be at this time. Where is the decrease that he may increase? Church, we need to make it all about him, to glorify him. Paul talked about being the least of the apostles, the chief of sinners, bringing Jesus to the forefront. In our relationship with him and all that we are within him, we're always letting him have the glory. We're always giving him the glory. And that's the gentleness in our character that will bow the knee and be humble before how great and mighty he is. As we read the beginning of our service in Isaiah 40, how great and mighty he is. But yet we also learn how gentle he is also. We need to live intentionally with the Holy Spirit, that we become like that gentle spirit, that we who are called in relationship and fellowship with him, just make it all about him. In church this morning, can't we say together, isn't he lovely? Isn't our God worthy? Isn't it all about him? Nothing to do with you or me, but it's all about him and his goodness and his faithfulness and his great grace. So he gets the preeminence in our relationship. He's the number one, and he should always stay that number one in our lives. The second thing we want to look at this morning is this. We want to work with the Holy Spirit to see him produce gentleness in our lives for true representation of God. We really do live in a cutthroat world today, don't we? We live in a society that seems to be so harsh. You know, I heard of a story recently that happened in Belfast of a guy who was down and out and people urinating on him. Where have we gone wrong as a society? The people who are struggling, that we would demean them even more. People are so focused in climbing to the top, but doesn't matter who they'll actually step on the way up the ladder. And gentleness and meekness, it is seen as something alien in that world, something that is generally just weak. In the lockdown, we saw people's greed and their insensitivity, which was horrendous. I went to one of our local shops, and in one of our local shops, a wee boy that went to school with our son Reuben was standing, and he just said to me, you know, Stephen, I have watched people come in here, and they've bought up, and why everybody was out buying toilet rolls, I don't know. But he says, you know, they've bought the biggest packs. And he says, you know, they've even taken the wee two packs that some of our wee senior citizens, that's all they can afford to buy in a week. There was no consideration. It was man, me, number one, me first and it all. And yet to the other side of it, we saw great compassion, great care, great love, great grace. People going out serving and helping one degree and then another degree. And I know some of the conversations that I had in the area that I live with some of our locals, people were saying, I just hope and pray that this nature, this caring nature in the majority of people will stay around and people will be neighborly again and look out for one another and care, but only time will tell. But for the household of God, church, people need to see strength under control. People need to see in a world that's full of injustice, a world full of extremes, they need to see a people rising who are gentle in heart. Now, those of you that are 60, apparently that's the new 40. Dream on. The orange is the new black. I want to tell you this morning. Strength and grace is definitely the new strength. That gentleness is the new strength. A woman are a man of God who have the strength under control that feels anger on the right grounds against the right person in the right manner at the right moment for the right length of time. Being controlled by the Spirit of God to have that power of strength, that is gentleness. Have you ever watched the film The Passion of Christ? It's hard to watch, isn't it? When that film came out, we were pastoring in Newcastle, and as church evangelism, we took over the cinema one night in Kilkeel. We put on a bus, and we gave our people free tickets to invite their friends to take somebody along to watch The Passion of Christ as a work of evangelism. And we asked Reuben's nursery teacher to come with us, lovely woman. And as we were sitting in the cinema, she nudged me and said to me, "Stephen, you'll have to forgive me. I will probably gurn the whole way through this. I am liable to crucifixion, seeing to fall apart." Well, let me just say this. I beat her even before the crucifixion scene. The way the scene is portrayed in that film of the lady caught in adultery touched my heart. How this lady was dragged out, and here the man was off scene, wasn't he? But this wee lady was dragged out in fear of being stoned to death. And our Jesus stood up for her. I'd love to know what he wrote in the ground, but whatever he wrote in the ground, they started to go away. His justice, his strength of character, his courage made these men ready to tear this girl apart. Made them walk away. He stood for her. And yet, as he stands for her, the gentleness of his character comes out and says to this woman, "Go and sin no more. Where's your accusers? Go and sin no more." In church, God needs his people to rise up with that justice and that courage to stand for those who have been hurt by this world and broken by sin. And he wants us to be the man and the woman of God who will stand in gentleness, strength of character, to stand for those that nobody else will stand for. Strength under control. For Jesus loves everyone, and he wants us to stand and to care and be gentle in our manner. Philippians 4 and 5 says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all." We have a gentle Savior who showed his gentleness, yet he can show his strength. And he wants us to mirror that to our world, that we will be courageous and stand up for right, but yet we will deal with those that are hurting with a gentle nature. Philippians 4 again, "Let your gentleness be evident to all." And here's the third thought this morning. We work with the Holy Spirit to him to produce gentleness in us for true reformation for God. You know, we see the need for gentleness, humility, to truly have a relationship with God. If you don't have that gentleness, at some point where you in humility bow the knee and say to God, "I need you, I've got it wrong," then you wouldn't be born again of the Spirit of God, because that only comes with repentance. And for us to carry on in our relationship with God, how we need to bow to his Lordship, how we need to keep coming back saying, "Lord, I need you to help me in this life. I need you to keep me in the right spirit, in the right mind." We always need to come back to the Father, the source of everything that we have and our salvation. And we know we are to be like Jesus because Jesus was gentle. Matthew 2 and 15 says this, "Say to the daughter of Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle, riding on a donkey." They were looking for this king to come on a horse and a sword and to cut the Romans down. But instead, Jesus comes gently riding on a donkey in humility, ready to lay down his life for us, that we could be free. Not just a small nation in the Middle East, but that we, the world, could be living in freedom because of his act of gentleness and kindness and grace when he laid down his life in such pain that we could be free today. We know Christ was gentle, and the Lord calls for us to be gentle too. But we still need to avail of his gentleness in our lives that we can be changed to be like him. Did you get that? We still need the avail of his gentleness in our lives today. Do you know, he wants us to be happy in gentleness, and he even said he will reward us if we are gentle. Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, blessed are the gentle, for they will inherit the earth. And you know, our Heavenly Father, we read it in Isaiah, we see the powerfulness of our God, and yet then we see his gentleness as he wants to rear the sheep like little lambs to keep them close to himself. Even in Hosea, a book that was written about the waywardness of God's people who constantly were at angst with God, who were getting it wrong and going on their own wee way. Yet we see again the lovely gentleness of the Father who says in Hosea 11:4, I led them with cords of human kindness, with tie of love. To them I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek as I bent down to feed them. See that gentleness of the Father? He wants to take us and put his cheek up the arch. You know, I still have an amazing memory when we lived in Perth. And it was after the Dunblane massacre where all those wee children were killed in that school. And you know, Don and I were walking through Marks and Spencer's one day. And this wee lady came up. It was just after this. And this wee lady came up and she just said, can I touch your child? And the finger just down his face, so gentle. And then it was like this lady just disappeared. And here the Father is saying, as any of us would be gentle to a little baby, that is my heart to you, that amazing gentleness. Isaiah 42:3 tells us, even for those that are struggling in their faith, those who may be struggling with life in general, the Lord says this in Isaiah 42:3, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not stuff out. In his faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. Beloved, this morning, are you feeling you're struggling in this season? Maybe you're feeling you've had enough of all the things that we're being told to do and not do. Maybe had enough in the sense of that, you know, this has put pressure on your soul. Maybe it's putting pressure on your health. Maybe it's putting pressure on your relationships with other people. It's putting pressure on fellowship because we can't fellowship the way we would love to. Our lovely sister Nicola Rothwell came to the door this morning. You know, they're still having to self-isolate with a wee box of goodies for a family that we're going to share that with. And she just said to me, all I want to do is hug you. And I wanted to hug her too. It's terrible that we can't do the things that we normally do. And it may be taking a toll on your soul. Maybe there are other things going on in your life that you're dealing with on top of this. Physical pain, emotional pain, stuff that's going on in your family circumstance. And it's weighing you down and taking your focus off the Lord. True reformation for God will cause you to bow the knee in humility again and just declare, Lord, I need you. To believe in Christ's call, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Maybe today you need to lay down at his feet some of the stuff that you're carrying, and just in humility say, Lord, I can't carry this. This is over to you. And on Wednesday night, we looked at Psalm 112, verse 7, and I love verse 7. It says this: they will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. In other words, this writer of the Psalm was saying this, that we don't fear anything because, do you know something? It's the Lord's to sort out. It's the Lord to take this on. He is the one in whom we trust. He is the great one. We're only the people of his pasture. So we'll give it over to Father God, and we'll allow Father God to deal with the circumstance of our soul today. So whatever it is, wherever you are today, why not lay it down again? Take on that invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, because he's the gentle Savior, that gentle Savior who wants to put your face near his and speak words of love over your soul, to soothe your soul through his word today, to bring encouragement for where you're at. Maybe today you need to lay down some people's expectations of you. Maybe there are those who are putting pressure on you to do things or to be something that you feel at the minute you cannot be. You take his yoke upon you, not the expectations of maybe your family or the world or the friendship circle that you have. Take his yoke, his desire for your life, because when you carry his yoke, you will find there's easiness there, because he's carrying it with you. And he is there for you. Maybe there's just some stuff that you have taken up that God never called you to carry, and you need to lay it down at his feet and know that he is able to see you through. Have that humble heart to just say, Lord, I can't do this, and I give it towards you. Allow his face to come to your cheek, and allow him to minister his soothing, gentle words over your life. Could you stand with me, church, this morning? And as we come to prayer, and want to remember this day, our dear sister Patty is out of hospital after being down with COVID-19, but she's still very weak, needs a lot of prayer. We need to pray for the Hoys, because Paul has contracted COVID-19, so we want to pray for him this morning too, and that God would touch them. But I'm going to ask you, church, this morning, if you feel today you are carrying some stuff that has weighed your soul down, maybe today you're not even sure why you feel so weighed down, why don't you today maybe humbly bow your head with me as we pray? But if you need the soothing presence of God, could I ask you, would you lift up holy hands? And if this has meant something to you this morning and you need a touch of the soothing presence of God, I would love to include you in this prayer. Father, this morning, these are your people. And with humility this morning, there are those that are raising their hands out to you to say, Father, I'm coming. We know as a child puts his hands out to the Father puts his hands out to them. And Lord, I pray as your children come this morning with many different feelings and many different heartaches, many things they need you to step in with, I pray today, Holy Heavenly Father, put your cheek to theirs and speak words of comfort, words of love. Let them know that you're lifting that burden, that you're taking that burden, that they can trust you with that burden, because you, Almighty God, are able to see them through. You, Almighty God, are able to touch them where nobody else can. For those that need a miracle of finance, we pray, bless them. For those that need a miracle of healing, for those that, God, need an emotional touch from yourself, I pray, touch them now, Almighty God. Lord, we think of Patty today. We pray that you will give her strength in her body, that she'll come through this fire. We think of the Hoys. We think especially of Paul. We pray, Lord, today, protection upon him. We pray that you will attack the whole household just now, and you will offer grace, Lord. And Lord, today, For those in our congregation that are in leadership positions, especially in business, those men in the house, the women in the house, those that are listening online, that, Lord, have to work through this virus. Considering those that they employ and look after, God, I pray, give these men and women great wisdom. That they'll not worry in their beds about people's jobs, but, Lord, that they would know that you, Father, will be with them and help them. For those who are working in our health service, continue to give them strength and help and grace for every hour. Lord, get us through this second wave and bring us through the other end to bring you number one again, to make you number one always, all right, for you are the honor and the glory, and Lord, we thank you that it's all about you, Jesus. Amen.